It's always a pleasure coming here because we can share what our thoughts are. I always say to people, when politicians are on TV, they usually say what people want to hear. When politicians are doing, when we are doing door to door and campaigning, we usually say what we want to hear. But today I want to speak about three very controversial topics that is hot. Because I was driving and thinking, what am I going to talk about? So I want to talk about the next election. I want to talk about our fight with America. And I want to start with the most current one. What happened with the budget? Because, I mean, people are all curious. And the budget, 2 weeks ago, the Minister of Finance walked in with a 2% proposal for a VAT hike. Instantly, we speak against it. All ministers, I think there was one minister that said, no, the VAT hike should continue. You should continue with putting 2% VAT hike. But everyone in one voice told him, no way in hell will you put 2% VAT hike. The Minister of Finance then said, guys, you know we have to present the budget in 10 minutes. We said, well, not today. We have to discuss this. We got to fight about this. We then went from where we were to Parliament. At Parliament, they asked for a postponement. So 2 hours between us deciding we are not going to pass the budget, we are not going to agree on the 2% VAT hike, and walking out of Parliament, we walk into posters, we walk into news media headlines that said the following. The DA is fighting for you against an ANC VAT hike. I call John. I said, John, what the fuck? I said, John, do you know what you guys have just done? You have walked into your oncoming train. No, what you talking about? Right there, I write them a WhatsApp in front of all the ministers. I said, guys, come on. You can't do this because this is supposed to be a GNU victory. And I said to John, the ANC is never going to give us what we want because it will be a DA victory instead of a GNU victory. Yesterday before the budget, the DA comes and they said they will not vote. They will not vote for any VAT hike. All the people that don't like the DA, like the South African Communist Party, they were just clapping because they knew what we knew, what was coming. There's a 0.5 VAT hike. Now, the next 2 weeks is the most dangerous 2 weeks in South Africa because now the DA went public and they said they're not going to vote for the VAT hike. And if they don't vote for the VAT hike, the GNU, they're out of the GNU. That is the cold, hard facts. Anybody tell you any other thing is a liar. That is what happened, and that's why we are where we are now. What I think is going to happen, or what I think should happen first, I think the DA must just swallow their pride and fix themselves and just come and vote for the budget. Failing to do that, Malema was very clear. He said, I'll join the GNU on one condition. I don't want the DA there. And half of the ANC agrees that they don't want the DA there. So I'm saying that the DA's presence in the GNU helps the country a lot. The DA, and I'm literally hoping that common sense shall prevail. The government of national unity will not fall if the DA leaves the GNU. They shall just be replaced. So you can ask me a question afterwards regarding that, but that was the first fact. That's a fact. I'm telling you, I just told you 100% the truth. Anybody tells you any other thing, I will come right back here, Alec, if you have another speaker saying to you another thing, and I will come and show you that they are not being honest. The government of national unity is really the best thing that could have happened to South Africa. I'm telling you now, on the other side of the GNU is Armageddon. Armageddon. We need to just put party politics aside and just look at the government of national unity, because what makes it great, the finance minister would have come and presented a budget. And it would have been, this is the budget, live with it. But because there's a GNU, there's different voices now. No, we don't want 2%. No, we don't want that. And that happens with a lot of things happening. Now, a lot of white people like to ask me a question, the same question. They say to me, why do black people still vote for the ANC while the ANC is so problematic? Well, here's the answer. For the very same reason why you keep on voting for the DA and the DA is so problematic. They love the ANC, you love the DA, and just make peace with that. Because it can't be that they are always right and everybody else is always wrong. We have to put the country first. The ANC is the least perfect party you can get. But the fact that they were willing to compromise, you can't have an uncompromising stand when you're in a government of national unity. You can't come and say my way or the highway. It doesn't work like that. It's like being married and you say it's my way or the highway. That marriage will never last. The second thing I want to speak about is America. And then I want to end up with what I think is going to happen. And Alec is my witness. I've never gotten it wrong when it comes to predictions. And Alec is big enough to say, you've given me 9 predictions and they were all spot on. It's not because I'm smart or anything like that. Far from it, in fact. It's just because I'm a realist. I don't say what I'm feeling. I'm saying what the reality is on the ground. I want to speak about America. It is stupid to try to fight America. Because people talk about BRICS. China is America's biggest trading partner. India. Donald Trump wasn't even the president yet. And then the Indian prime minister was already there to go and visit Donald Trump. Russia is jumping at a chance to become, to restart the relationship with America. Why is it that we are South Africans? And I'm saying that anybody that says we America should go to hell should need to get their heads red, because America is our second biggest trading partner. PEPFAR has kept many South Africans alive. And we must be honest about it. We can't afford this narrative that we are anti-America. Once you take money from people, they have a right to have an opinion about some of the things that you are doing. You can't take money from people and don't want them to have an opinion. America has a particular opinion about us. I happen to share some of the opinions they have regarding the friends that we choose as South Africa. But I see there's a lot of South Africans that say nothing about the lie that's being told. But you see, we're all going to pay a heavy price if we continue this lie of a genocide. What type of genocide is this? And you should speak up about it, because it's not the truth, because it's America today. And once people believe there's a genocide, and that's just bullshit. There's no genocide in South Africa. I know it, and you know it. How can you have coffee in a genocide and sitting here, 90% of you are white, but the word out there is that you are being killed? That's not true, and we should fight that, and we should speak very loudly about that. We only have one South Africa. And if this goes, there's nothing for us. There's no genocide in South Africa. South Africa is not totally innocent, in my opinion, that some of the friends that we keep I totally disagree with as a country. And I think that they can call me all sorts of names, but I think that we should fix our relationship with America. I think South Africa is the one country in the world that shouldn't even have enemies. We are the children of Mandela. Where would our enemies come from? We don't hurt other countries. I think we are perfectly positioned to be friends with everyone. Then the next election, I want to talk about that. Yesterday I had, last night I had dinner with some very good friends of mine that invited people that I met for the first time. And they asked me a question. They asked me, and I'm going to repeat it here, I said it last time. They asked, do you think, Andrew, do you think EFF will make it? Is EFF dead? I said, no, EFF is not dead. EFF is in a coma. But it's a coma that they will wake up from. Trust me, I don't like those guys. But Malema is smart enough to find his way back. He's been given a setback that the best amongst us, the best amongst us would have acted the same way that he's acting. He's lost four of his top guys, or three of his top guys. He lost Dalim Pofu, he lost Ndlozi, he lost Floyd. That's an earthquake. It's like losing 80% of your board, speaking your language, or your management. But I think Malema will bounce back around 2028. He will bounce back around that time. But for now, the next election, he's still going to be in a coma. That's my opinion. The Freedom Front Plus. I think the Freedom Front Plus is going to rise simply because they got a very, very different type of leader this time. Corney Mulder is one of the smartest people I've met in my life. And I think he's got it in him too. He understands issues. And I think the Freedom Front Plus is going to rise. The Patriotic Alliance, the party that I lead, is the fastest growing party in South Africa. And what helped us is that we have a core base of very loyal people. So we will definitely do better than what we did last time. The ANC, I think the ANC is in much more trouble than what they are willing to admit. The ANC is in serious trouble simply because there's certain people in the ANC that is more concerned with 2027 leadership than the 2026 election. Now, that's a big problem. You know, if a person politically can't realize that 2026 is much more important. So the ANC is in big trouble because they're having the elective conference to replace, to stand as the next leader of the country and the ANC per se in 2027. And that is a massive problem for them. A massive problem because their attention is not fixed on 2026, but their attention is fixed on the leadership. If you ask me which party except the Patriotic Alliance, the DA. The DA is in big trouble. You see, the DA has, and maybe you want to hear this, but you're going to hear this today. When I meet people in the Western Cape and they say to you, the DA is doing such a great job, I already know this person doesn't understand what's happening around him. If you live in Cape Town, and you think the DA is doing a good job, you don't know what's happening around you. Because the DA is doing a good job in a 5-kilometer stretch. Go to Menenberg, go to Bonteheuvel, go to Langa, go to Guguletu, just go there. I've got a deal with Rob Ersoff that says the DA does well. And I know Rob, he better keep his word, because I know he's going to keep his word. Rob Ersoff is going to live in Khayelitsha for 2 days. I said, you go live in Khayelitsha for 2 days, because Rob is crazy. He says, I'm going. So we are now making arrangements for him to go and live. I said, when you come from there, you must tell me, and I'm going to film it, and I'm going to play it on Biz News. Rob Herzog's 2 days in Khayelitsha. I said to him, you cannot, you got to watch it. Oh, there's Rob. So you're going to watch it on Biz News. I'm going to film the whole thing. I got the film crew. He's going to live in Khayelitsha, and he must come back and tell me what he always tell me. No, but Helen is a great leader. The DA is doing good. Helen is a great leader, but the DA is not doing well for everyone. They're doing exceptionally good for certain people. They are 25 years to fix the Western Cape. It is fixed for some of us that stays in the top suburbs. But it is not fixed. And you don't govern for the majority. You govern for the majority, for all the people, and not for a minority. They've governed very successfully the minority. And you know, the one thing that the DA has not realized, every time they make these posters and talking bad about me, we encourage that. We encourage them to make these posters and paint me as this horrible criminal. That's what we love. Whenever they do that, we know we're winning the by-election. Because our people hate that. The moment the white men come and talk about a colored guy like myself, you've already lost the fight. We know that. Say, Sinte Watanki Bure Fanos, Netsua. That is a truth, and we campaign like that. So the DA, in my opinion, they got a borrowed constituency. The DA's got a borrowed constituency. They got the colored people voting for them. And the PA is just coming to take that constituency back to its natural home. And that's politics for you. So I think the DA is going to go down. Not drastically, but I think they're going to go down. What do I think about MK? Now I've got 2 minutes left, and now you've got to listen very carefully. MK, yesterday I had dinner with some friends of mine, and they called other friends, and the one lady said, I'm too horrified to eat, was what you just said. I said, well, ma'am, that's your problem. But you asked me a question, and I answered you. Jacob Zuma, a lot of white people can't get it on over the... Your mind can't comprehend the fact that Jacob Zuma is the most popular man in South Africa. I'm going to repeat that. The most popular man in South Africa is Jacob Zuma. Don't ask me. I know your mind can't comprehend that. He's the most popular man in South Africa. He came out of jail, and within 4 months, he built a party that's the third largest party in South Africa. Do you know what? This is a man for 10 years that has had negative newspapers every day. If I think Cyril Ramaphosa is the strongest member in the ANC, if there was no Cyril Ramaphosa, Zuma would have already finished the ANC, I can promise you. Because the ANC always had unionists, people that come from jail, people that were in exile. That is part of the currency. And that currency is now disappearing. The leaders that are coming in don't come from exile. Are not trade unionists like Cyril Ramaphosa and them. Are not Roman Islanders like most of the leadership. So somebody asked me, do you think you can stop Jacob Zuma? At the moment, I know I can't stop him. Do you think the ANC can stop him? Hell no, they can't stop him. Can the DA stop him? Nobody can stop him. There's only one thing that can stop Jacob Zuma. Never forget what I'm going to tell you today. If you don't stop Jacob Zuma, he is going to lead this country in 2029. He's strong on his way, whether you like that or not. And Zuma's unapologetic of what he's going to do when he comes in. Expropriation without compensation is number one on his list. And that will destroy property rights. And any country with no property rights is not a country. What will stop Jacob Zuma? The GNU. The GNU will stop Jacob Zuma, and that's the only thing that the DA and the PA needs to understand, and the ANC. Only the GNU can stop Jacob Zuma, because Jacob Zuma has campaigned that the GNU is shit. He tells everyone the GNU is shit. Now, if the GNU is really shit, they're going to say Zuma is telling the truth. But if the GNU can deliver, they're going to say, Jacob Zuma is talking shit. The GNU is not shit. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is our reality. We have to keep this GNU together. We have to keep this GNU strong. No matter our egos, and we are not innocent. The PA is not innocent. We are also a guilty party in some of the nonsense that are happening. But we have to put South Africa first. By not doing that, I believe in expropriation with compensation. Because white people, you can't sit with all the land. But I believe you have to pay them market value for the land. But I do know as a businessman, deep down in my heart, deep down, if I'm honest with you, I would also want to take the land for free. But I understand that the moment you do that, you have no country left. A country is built on property rights. It's built on property rights, not on your wishes. So in conclusion, I want to say to everyone here today, we got to be honest about our circumstances in this country. The GNU needs to survive. The GNU is the only thing that can stop the Zuma tsunami. And I want to impress on you and tell your leadership and whatever party you are at, we have to fix issues. And I must say it here, I've come to have a whole lot of more respect for Cyril Ramaphosa than what I initially had. Simply because what I've seen, the patience, how he's trying to keep this thing together is not easy. It is a difficult thing. You have Gaetan McKenzie here. You have John Steyn isn't there. We're like a group of a weapon of mass destruction that he keeps on saying, no, don't detonate, don't do this, don't do that. So I'm saying to you, South Africa is going to survive. We are smarter than our problems. We are a great nation. And anybody that tells you we are not going to survive is not a true South African. We always rise to the occasion. And to everybody here, no matter who tells you what, South Africa's future can only be bright if it is a shared future. If we forget about black, white, Indian, and colored, and we start concentrating that we are South Africans and we need to build this country, and I see my favorite person in the audience. I love you so much. I call them the gold diggers. So, like the most decorated Olympian in the history of South Africa is here today. Can we give a hand of applause? Tatiana, I know she hates me for that now. So all I want to say to you that it's not all doom and gloom. Not all doom and gloom. Let me tell you something. South Africa's got too many great South Africans for us to fail. We will never, ever, ever, ever fail. And some of us are there and we test the boundaries. We want to make sure that people can see. I, for one, put out an advert this week. You saw it in the newspapers, where I said that black men should not apply for this job, only white and Indian. Jesus, the kak gekry. But then all my black friends like, what the hell, that's racist. I said, but you've been having adverts like that. How do you think we feel? I'm a colored male. Now you know how we feel. So all I'm saying to you is that we gotta build this country. We have only one South Africa. I've traveled the world. There's no country for South Africa. There's farmers, they want to go to America. One thing about farmers, they love Afrikaners. There's specific things they love, specific to them. Beltong, Radios on the Grenze, God, Oma Biscuit, Rugby, that's Foko van Eikang. Thank you very much. Nice speaking to you.
I even heard a little whistle there, Gate, and that's a first for a business news conference. Yeah. Just before we go, and there are so many questions, I'd rather just concentrate on that today. But I want to ask you about one of your pet subjects that you didn't touch on, which is huge in the north, and that's illegal immigration. Now, I know you gave the DA a hard time, but imagine you in their shoes in Cape Town, and you've just got a flood of people coming. You know they're there. You're going to a restaurant in Cape Town. It's Zimbabweans. You go to certain parts of Somalians, Ethiopians, etc. And I don't know how many of those people are legal. Please God, they all are. But you've been very strong on that point. It must be hard to to sort out the infrastructure if you've just got this flood of people coming through?
Yesterday, they arrested the Mozambican that was escaped from jail in Mozambique. He specializes in fortuners. They hijack, kill people that drive fortuners, and they move it to Mozambique. That's what he specializes in, fortuners. He was arrested in Sandton yesterday. Now, why am I mentioning that? A year ago, they arrested a security guard in Franschhoek that was responsible for the killing of hundreds of people, thousands of people in Rwanda. So many of you here called me xenophobic. I've embraced that. But here's the issue. This is the uncomfortable thing that you don't want to hear, but you're going to hear today. Illegal foreigners working in your houses, working in your businesses, you don't vet them. You leave them with your children. You don't know who they are. Some of them, when they're in jail in Ethiopia, when they get released from jail, they come to South Africa. When they're in jail in Zimbabwe, when they release, they come here. All illegal foreigners need to leave this country. You stand, you say, it's subtle racism when you start saying stuff like, but Zimbabweans are hard workers, South Africans don't want to work. No, it's not about South Africans don't want to work. It is your racism that you are hiding, that you prefer a foreigner because they have no rights, they have no union, they have no recourse. I'm saying to you, illegal foreigners are the biggest problem facing us. And if somebody kills your brother, your sister, your mother, and they are not documented, it's only then when you'll see the harm that illegal foreigners are causing us. They come here, no papers. They come here. So I'm saying to you, go to every restaurant in Cape Town, there's illegal foreigners working. Stop hiring illegal foreigners. Get somebody that's South African that you can vet, that you know if something is missing at your place, you'll know, you'll help the police to find them. Illegal foreigners should, if PEPFAR disappears, it's 70% of the fight against HIV/AIDS budget. Illegal foreigners, in my opinion, should not even be getting medical attention in South Africa. It might sound inhumane, but you have medical aid, I have medical aid. The people that don't have medical aid must stand in the line, and there's 10 Zimbabweans ahead of him. The people that applies for housing must stand in the line because there's 300 Mozambicans on that same housing list. South Africans, I'm saying to you today, you guys are the captains of the industries. It's time for us to agree that 12% of our prisoners in jail are illegal foreigners. That can't be normal. So I'm still saying to you, Aba Hambe, they must go. Next year, when we start the campaign, we are coming to all the businesses, all your businesses that are hiring illegal foreigners, and we're going to give you South Africans to work there. Because you seem not to find South Africans that can work. We will bring you CVs of people that can work. Get rid of your illegal foreigners now, because next year is not going to be easy. You heard it first year. Thank you.
It's more broad, my question. And Rob and I were at the ARC conference, and we heard a lot there from people in Europe, people in the UK, people in America. We had Aaron Banks here yesterday telling us that since Trump was elected, 95% of the illegal flow into America has stopped. It's a huge, huge issue politically in the North. Is it starting to become as big an issue politically here?
Yeah, here's the issue. What you don't know is that the whole of Europe, all the illegal foreigners in Europe, all of them put together, it's half of the illegal foreigners we have in South Africa. That's a stat that you don't know. It is going to be an issue. Politicians that says today, no, illegal foreigners are welcome here. When the tide turns, they will say another issue. It's a big problem here. We're going to fight for it. It is becoming a political issue. Donald Trump was chosen president at the back of standing firm. Some of us has been fighting this issue. We are going to turn on the volume higher. We are not going to turn back. It is the biggest issue facing this country, because Africans, South Africans, will not continue to watch the majority of these people hiring illegal foreigners while they don't have jobs. Sooner or later, shit is going to break out. We must prevent that from breaking out. They've taken advantage of our country. It is time for them to go home. And most of you in this room are the enablers. You are the enablers. When there's xenophobic attacks, and we pray it doesn't happen, you played your role in that, because this is South Africa for South Africans. And when you have illegal foreigners here, the governments in Africa, where they're coming from, in the rest of Africa, they love sending the young males here, because they know they're the ones that can topple them. They're the ones that can march against them. They're the ones that can protest against them. So they send their problems to South Africa. We have enough of our problems in South Africa. Those problems need to go back.
You know, when I introduced Rob yesterday, I said, Rob and Gayton McKenzie are friends, not surprising, because they don't have filters. They tell it as they see it. So thank you for sharing that with us. Let's go on to get on to the questions. Justin Fenn says, to show that the GNU is the way forward for this country, can you share with us some of the successes that you've achieved as Minister of Sport? Also, what are the top priorities for your portfolio?
Right. Well, I'm going to have to sit here the whole day and have to talk about the successes I've already achieved in sport. I think the first one for me, it's I have a different belief when it comes to the debate about black inclusion in sport and white inclusion. This is a debate that's been going for 30 years. That you can't have, I believe that you can't have equal outcomes if there's not equal participation and equal entry. I believe that we need to start over again and give children the same opportunities first. Because once you look at our Springbok team, when people get the same opportunities, like Sia Kolisi and them, he went to a school, to Gravrinet, I think. He went to private school to play rugby there. And look at where he is today. So people just need opportunities. We need to create more opportunities for previously disadvantaged players through the ranks. And at the end, I think you need to have your best team. But as I believe in South Africa, that your best team is a white team, like in cricket. That's not the truth. Just give people opportunities and let... I mean, you look at Rassie Erasmus. He's got so many players, white, black. Well, not, I haven't seen an Indian yet. But he's got so many players, white, black, colored players coming through. The main thing for me is give people, and that's what I want to bring, let the best men play, and the man that is not, that is great, but there's no infrastructure himself and has got no opportunity, let's give them the opportunity. In sport, I've achieved so much. I tell you, let me tell you, I got a call one day. This is still the funniest one. Minister, we have no money. We are at the airport. The under 20s, the Youth Olympic Games in Peru. We need to get there. I had 2 hours to raise 3 million to pay for the flights. Because I said, over my dead body, will they remain behind? And I phoned, I remember I made a call to Supersport. They gave 1 million. We gave 1 million. The department, we all just scraped money together quickly and we put them on a flight. What happened at that race? Waladza became the fastest under 20 year in the country, in the world. In 100 meters, he got a gold medal. He got a gold medal in 200 meters. So if your great sports minister didn't raise that money so quickly, we would not have had the fastest under 20. Alex, just hold on.
Okay.
So we're in Menenberg. I have to share the story with you. So I walk with my friend in Menenberg. I haven't seen him a long time. We had a by-election there. So wherever we walk, we go from Menenberg, we go to the waterfront to go and eat. And people kept on saying to me, Minister, van hier minister is wen ons. Minister, since you're minister, we're winning. But I think the third person said that to me. And I kept on saying the same answer. I'm like, no, I've got nothing to do with it. No, I've got nothing to do with it. No, I've got no. The fourth time he says to me, my Peru, they sok my lekker dom, jong. Ek sê, why? Ja, my Peru, die mense sê is deur jou. They say it's because of you. Sê net, ja, want as hulle fokken verloor morgen, dan gaat hulle vir jou fokken blijf so vat, sê maar nou al klaar.
Ja, te veel Engels al hier in hierdie. But anyway, it was what a great story. Just defending my countrymen from the kingdom, the Indians, they're the best supporters.
No, the Indians are the best. You know, my best friend is Indian, so he says, I said to him, what sport is your son going to play? This is my best friend, Indian. I said, what sport is your son going to play? He gives me a list. I said, no, but you must put soccer there. He said, no, we Indians don't play soccer. When we have a corner, we open a shop, in the corner shop.
Okay, Helen Ziller, she says, please note that I have to chair a federal exec meeting at 8:30, so I had to slip out of Minister McKenzie's speech. I'm not walking out. I apologize for this. It's a price I pay for having a job that continues when I'm out of town. So there was no walkout.
You know, there's this wrong perception. I personally, on a personal level, I say very begrudgingly, very begrudgingly. Helen Ziller is a wonderful person. Forget politics. Helen Ziller is a wonderful person. I've been to her house. When you agree with Helen Ziller and they say... When I agree with Helen Ziller, they say, you, Helen Ziller's tea boy. And I always laugh because when I went to Helen Ziller's house, she was making tea for me. And I had the urge to record it there, and I thought, no, let me not. I remember I went to Helen Ziller's house for the first time. And when I got there, I'm like, Helen, I think you gave me wrong directions. She said, no, are you at the gate? I said, yes, come in. And I went in, I'm like, Helen, is this your house? This looks like an RDP house. House is very tiny, eh? I said to Helen, I think you wrongfully, corruptly took an RDP house. I can tell you Helen Ziller is feisty. The DA will be worse off if Helen Ziller is not the leader. I wish they can get rid of Helen Ziller. I really, really wish that. I wish I can get rid of her for my own selfish reasons. Helen Ziller, when she's on the ground doing door-to-door, people just love her. And I hate the fact that some of my own people love her. And I just think that people mustn't. I've got great respect and admiration, but I hate her politically. Not for her views, because she's a rival. And I just think that Helen Ziller is probably one of the best South Africans we've ever had in this country.
Thank you, Gayton. There was a wonderful book that R.W. Johnson recommended at the previous BizNews conference called Team of Rivals. And it explained how Abraham Lincoln put together these rivals. Who knows? Maybe that team of rivals is... You're laying the ground.
I'll put Helen Ziller as the Minister of Police. Where
Okay, let's move on. John Cunha asks, he's come all the way from Kuwait City, so we got to answer this one. Assuming that there was a cabinet reshuffle tomorrow and you were no longer Minister of Sports, what positive systematic legacy do you leave behind that can continue? And in this regard, who would you pick as the next incoming minister?
I think the first thing that the legacy I want to leave is that, you know, the majority of people in this country, the federations in this country, and they might hate me for this, but that's okay. I think we have the most incompetent people in some of these federations. They will fly business class while the athletes don't even have money to get to the different sporting codes. Some of them exist purely because they want to get, they live off the salary that government pays them, the grant. They don't do nothing to take sports further. And my greatest legacy will be to fix that. Some of them are great federations. Some of them are corrupt. They got a big surprise coming in the next 30 days when I read my budget. If you don't tell us what you did with the previous money, you will not get 1 cent from us in this new budget. We got to change. We can't, a country like ours can't send so few Olympians to the Olympics. We are a great country. I already reached out to people like Tatiana and I said to them, you can't be lost to swimming. We still need you to come and help us create the future, Tatiana Smits. And I want to say to, in the sport, you know, when you look at South African sport, we are the best in the world in some of the sporting codes. And yesterday, we finalized the budget. And the strangest thing happened. You would not believe this. True story. I've been sitting, I've implemented my own doge in my department. I am Elon Musk. So we are sitting with the people that are paying the money, the finance people. And she's laughing because she couldn't stop laughing, one of the people in my office. And we went with a ruler, line for line. Tell me who is this and why are you paying this amount of money? It has been happening for 2 weeks. I can tell you horror stories where they paid money and they don't know themselves what that money is for. And when you push them, they'll tell you they found it like that and just continue paying. So what we're going to do, we're going to bring VAR back. That will be my biggest legacy because sport is the most, soccer is the most watched sport here. And there's a lot of corruption happening in our soccer. There's a lot of stadiums being vandalized whenever a decision goes against a particular teams, all particular teams. So I'm bringing VAR. The excuse has always been as expensive. I've made provision with all the savings in my department that we are going to pay for it and then corrupt the referees. The time is over. We are going to move with times. So that will be one of the things I'm extremely proud of. And the fact that I've said no new stadiums will be built. No new stadiums will be built. We're going to fix all the swimming pools that are broken. We're going to fix all the infrastructure because people just want to put out tenders. We must fix what is broken before we build new stuff. We still have very good stuff. Yeah.
Doge in the Department of Sport. I mean, this is, and arts and culture. As
yeah,
well,
and, no, throughout. No, sport, arts and culture. And then the thing, the last two things that for me is the best, that we the first thing is the Olympics. What people don't know about the Olympics has changed their whole model. It is now 80% cheaper. There's no more all those exaggerated costs. So South Africa is going to apply for the 2036 Olympics. And this is during my term. We're applying for the 2036 Olympics, and it is 20% cheaper. And I met with the people of France, and they showed us exactly how they managed to make a profit. And the second one is, which I'm personally chasing. It is, I'm speaking to Dana White. We're trying to have Dricus fight in South Africa. It's damn expensive. It is worth every cent, I must tell you. Because it comes with a lot of good things for our country. And I think Dricus, it's a shame that Dricus and Israel, two African champs, had to fight on Australian soil while they both from Africa. We are talking with the good people at UFC. And I don't want to say much, but in the next 2 weeks we'll know if we're successful. And then my favorite, we're definitely going to bring F1 back to South Africa. In the year 2027, I said, if I don't bring F1, then my term has been a failure as a minister. Because, you know, if one has been here during apartheid, how can it not be here? If you're in Monaco and you are in Imola in Italy, I think it's like 600 kilometers. There's two Grand Prix in the radius of 600 kilometers. And the whole African continent doesn't have one. It can't be right. So F1 will definitely come. And with me, the sports person, the person playing sport, that comes first. And not the minister, not the official. That is important for me. We need to look after our sports people better. We need to look after our artists. And we have all these plans. My budget is in a month, and knowing Alec is so good, he will make me talk about all the good surprises I have. I'm stopping right here. Watch my budget in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. Thank you very much.
So last night, your favorite South African, Tatiana, was sitting here. Not here. We were. Yeah, it was here. And she was telling us, we had a wonderful conversation, and she's, you know her. She's highly, really classy. But in Davos this year, I met Kirsty Coventry. And Kirsty Coventry, a great swimmer like Tatiana. In fact, she's the most decorated Olympian on the continent. One day she was sitting at home, and the minister, the president of Zimbabwe said, and our minister of sport is Kirsty Coventry. She never knew, but she's done a fantastic job, such that she's now moving on to become the IOC, potentially the next IOC president of the International Olympic Committee, which will be good for us for your bid, no doubt. Would you be bringing your favorite South African into swimming?
Tatiana, you know, I always say to people, when you work with people, you require one thing. You require good art. And she's got a brilliant heart. She's got empathy. Tatiana is the type of people that I would even say should lead the country, because they will lead with empathy. And when you lead with, I know she would never do it. She's like, I look, how she looks at me is like, yes, fucking ma, you bet. But I'm saying that I've got so much respect for her. You know, in South Africa, when I became the sports minister, this is interesting. I always wanted to be the Minister of Home Affairs for obvious reasons. And when we're talking, they got a brilliant strategy. They hang out with you, the ANC. And then they start asking, what do you think you want to be? And I said, the sports minister. And they said, if you don't become the sports minister, I said, police minister. And they pushed me forward to say, what is the other thing you'll accept? And I went on my WhatsApp group with my close friends. I said, guys, what other ministry do you think will suit me? Like one man, they all said sports, 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 sports. And I thought, no, they know me better. But I subsequently learned that it was for selfish reasons, because they're a bunch of cheapskates that just want free tickets. You know, I've got very good friends like Wendy Fisher and them that is teaching me. You've got the people from the Goodman Gallery. You've got Andrew Dunn. You've got Ismail Mohammed. I've got a lot of good people that teaches me about arts and culture and heritage. Sport, I've always been a super fan. I travel for sport. I was at the Rugby World Cup. I go to the Soccer World Cup. From 2007, I've been traveling all. So when you have the people, like, for instance, coming to tell me something in sport, officials, I know he's talking bullshit because of my knowledge of sport. So art, I've surrounded myself with very good people that teaches me. So Wendy, she's like the Mandela of arts. She's helped a lot of particularly black and colored youth. So when I became the minister, she's like, my friend, you better come to my gallery or to my where I keep the art. So I went there, and she's teaching me stuff that I didn't know. And I'm like, how much is this? So white people pay for this. And I'm seeing all the time. I'm like, well, if all else fail, I can try my head also. But she's showing me the most expensive art in the country. And Wendy is a great person. And she's enthusiastic about art. So as I'm taking, a tour. She's taking me to all the galleries. She's showing me. She makes me meet with all the artists. And then we went to her gallery where she stores her personal art. She's got the greatest collection. So she's showing me all of that. I'm like, oh, wow. At the end, I'm waiting for her at the door because she's switching on the alarm or something. And there's a table with a black refuse bag, a dirt bag on the table with some sellotape. And I'm thinking, I'm not leaving on a year. How much is this? Because I can do this. And the next moment she comes, she's like, just before I thank God I didn't ask her. Just before I could ask her, she's like, oh, good. I put this dirt here so I don't forget to put it out. And she takes that and she throws it. I was very, very happy that I didn't. But I've surrounded myself with good people and to teach me the stuff that I don't know. Most leaders make the mistake. People expect their leaders to know everything. And they are not teachable. I've subjected myself to people teaching me in the areas where I think I lack. So, yeah.
Okay. Did you get your answer?
Gold diggers.
Here's a pretty serious question from Tennis. He says, do you think the way the budget played out was pre-planned by the ANC to drive division in the GNU non-ANC partners? In other words, division between yourself and the DA.
No. I'm saying it again. The DA messed up. Can I tell you something about the ANC? I am shocked sitting there with the ANC and seeing the humility in dealing with issues. You know, Cyril Ramaphosa, our president, did something that I just thought was wow. With Bella. The ANC, Panyaza, and everybody said, sign Bella now, president. He called John. He called me. He called Groenewald. He called Minister Sabisa. He called Minister Nyonso. And he wanted to hear, are we happy for him to sign? I was in Russia. And I said, I'm not happy for you to sign Bella, president. But I knew, who am I? I'm just got one seat. And he said to us, I'm not going to sign. I'm going to first make you guys meet, get together, send your chief negotiator, and they must go and negotiate in the clearinghouse. The DA sent Helen Zeller. We sent Kenny Kunene and Charles. And we sent our top guys. Now, he was called all sorts of names. Yes, you give in to the DA. Why don't you sign Bella? He didn't sign it for 3 months. Now, what I'm saying is that is the action of a man that takes his partner serious. He was taking the criticism. The ANC was against VET. This narrative of VET being the ANC's thing, it's a lie. I can't sit here and tell a lie so openly. The ANC, and I'm going to say it because I said already, the two people that spoke first was Ramukhupa, the electricity minister, spoke first against VET, followed by Mameluku Kubai, the justice minister. They spoke against VET. John Steenhuisen spoke, I think, seventh. He was the seventh person to speak. I spoke after him. So how can you say it's a DA thing? This wasn't planned. The DA is trying to commit suicide for the rest of South Africa if they continue this. I wish Helen was still here, so I would have asked in front of all of you for them to respect the GNU, and sometimes you can't get all that you want. Tomorrow when they don't have illegal foreigners, there was a debate about the guy, should we hire this guy, should we not hire? And I lost the debate. I can't leave because I lost the debate. I must be a leader to go back to my people and say, you can't get everything that you want. That is leadership. We can't lose the GNU because of 0.5% VET. We can't. It can't happen. It shouldn't happen. We need the DA. I never thought I'd say this in my life. You know, I was in watching Twickenham. I was in Twickenham watching the Springboks. and meeting, understanding this Ekali deal when I was in London. And I got a call from our government saying, can you please not come back tonight? Can you meet 12 billionaires, South African billionaires, tomorrow for lunch? They specifically want to speak to you. And I met them. And when I met them for lunch, I looked at them and they said to me, thank you for coming. We have one question to ask you. I said, I'll only answer that question on one condition. They said, what's the condition? I said that I can ask you a question at the end of the, after answering your question. They said, fine. They said, is the GNU going to last? I said, any other question? They said, no. We want to leave London. We want to take our money back into South Africa. London is becoming impossible, but we want you to answer that question. I said, the GNU is going to last for one reason. I said, yes, it's going to last. They say, what's your reason? I said, I don't even think we like each other in the GNU. I don't really like the DA. They definitely hate me. We don't really like each other. But we sure as hell despise the guys that are on the outside. None of us would open the door for Malema and for Zuma to enter. And there's no greater motivation for us to tolerate each other, because non-tolerance of each other means that door is wide open for the people that we don't want in the GNU. That is what I told them. And I said to them that there's no way anybody, South Africans, will not forgive any party that breaks the GNU. It's our best hope to rebuild our country. And I had a question for them. I said, why did you insist that I come? They said, we also really don't think we like you, but we love the fact that with you there's no bullshit. You call us straight. You will tell us exactly. You will not tell us what you think we want to hear. I said, all right, no, that's fine. So I'm saying to everybody in this room, whenever we travel as government officials, Japan, we're going to Japan with the deputy president on Friday. Japan at the moment can't pass a budget because they also have like a national unity type of arrangement. In Germany, the government collapsed. We should never allow this in South Africa. The GNU is our best bet. And Alec, you're wrong if you think the majority of ANC guys don't want the DA there. They are happy with the DA there. Those guys, John Senison, I never knew he's such a nice guy. Honestly. He's a flippin' necko. You know? I was sitting next to him the first cabinet meeting. And I remember he didn't say very good things about me during the campaigning. And I equally said very bad things about him during the campaigning. So now, I don't know, was it President Cyril Ramaphosa just playing jokes on us because he put me and him next to each other? So we always sat next to each other. So I'm sitting there and this meeting is going on for a long time. But I'm looking at John, I'm hearing somebody is busy with something under the table. And I'm thinking like, it's a distraction. And John, and then I realize he's busy eating biltong. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, my pride said, don't ask him. But my hunger is a dictator. So I said, he looks at me, I said, if you don't give me, I'm telling the president you are eating here. He said, take. So I take. But I'm waiting for him to make sure he eats first. So after he ate for reasons of poisoning, I ate. And we finished that. So all I'm saying is that politics makes us nasty sometimes. You have people like Leon Schreiber, Dean. Those are really, really Khwarube. Those are kind people. There are people that I know they can push this country forward. We need them in government. We need the DA in government, and I'm the one saying that today. They probably think I've smoked something this morning. No, I didn't. I just say we must put South Africa before we put our parties.
Gayton McKenzie, thank you.
Right now, you can get the cheapest Forex rate around, right here, on Shift. Pay less for your dollars, pounds, and euros here. And get to shop more here. And do more here. And enjoy more ooh-la-la here. Shift also lets you trade and transfer currencies and buy shares in the world's best companies. It all happens right here, on Shift. You won't find a cheaper Forex rate anywhere else, no matter where you bank. Download the Shift app today.
In the world of business banking, projections, numbers, and your bottom line can often triumph over relationships. At Investec, we value both. That's why we understand that running a successful business takes endurance, drive, and partners who are willing to walk the journey with you. Make the move from business as usual to Investec Business Banking. Out of the ordinary.
Downings is South Africa's leading marquee infrastructure company, proudly celebrating 25 years of excellence. Renowned for creativity, innovation, and unmatched technical expertise, our event marquees and semi-permanent structures elevate any project with style and sophistication. Whether it's a corporate event or a commercial project, we tailor every structure to meet your needs with world-class precision. Visit downings.co.za to consult with our expert team. Downings, your trusted marquee specialists nationwide.